morning. I want to greet you in Jesus' name this morning. One that made all things and is in control of all things. I do covet your prayers this morning. And I just say I also covet your prayers in the future. So something that just kind of hit me last night. I was reading through my notes. And I picked out something that wasn't too far off of doctrinal, but it was a little off of not quite right. And it was a challenge and a kind of the fear of getting up front and speaking and the responsibility that we have that we're not preaching the untruth. I do covet your prayers that may not get too far off a track. So, I'd stop by a Phil there, and he wanted me to tell you that he's praying for y'all. And just thought I'd share that with you all here this morning. I think he would enjoy to be here today. He was going to try to call in here this morning, but while they're fairly free to call, they are also limited at times. So I'm not sure Phil, if you're listening in this morning, just want to bless you as you are there. For a passage this morning, let's turn to Psalms 8. Also do want to say it didn't miss being here last Sunday. It's good to be back. It's nothing like being at your home congregation. I'm going to read the passage at this time. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou might be mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angel, and has crowned him glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, and thou hast put all things under his feet. All sheep, oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, and the fowl of the earth, and the fish of the sea, whatsoever passeth through the path of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is the name in all the earth. Our focus this morning is going to be on three small words. Three small words that is a question of our society today. We see in verse 4, it says, there's a question. What is man that thou art mindful of him? This morning's title is, What is Man? The question is, of who is man or what is man, is a question that has been passed down through the ages. It's a question that people are seeking to find out in our society here today. And they are going to great lengths to find out what is their purpose in life. Each year there is billions of dollars spent in search of where man came from. They are in a search to find life that is beyond this world. I was reading an article online. There was and in the comments, the one writer asked, for a question was asked, it says, why do we search for life outside our planet? And they responded because life on other planets would prove that we are not alone, that life is not exclusive to this planet or rare thing. And most importantly, it would finally, once and for all, prove that religion is wrong and thus not deserving of worship. They're in search of something to justify their unbelief, something to prove that they do not have a God that they have to follow. All down through the ages, man has been attempting. Man has failed to recognize that God is the key to their question. And all down through the ages, man has been attempting to figure out who they are and also take control of their own life. The first time we see this as evidence is back in Genesis 3. And it was when the serpent was tempting Eve. It says, "For God doth in Genesis 5, it says, "For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eye, and the tree, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Adam and Eve got caught up in the desire to know more. So they ignored the commandments that the one and only true God had told them in person. We see that God walked and talked with We see that God had walked and talked with them, and he had a relationship with Adam and Eve. It was a relationship that was in a more of a physical sense than what we have today. But they still started to pursue the question and tried to take care of their own control of their own life. When you remove God, you start to ask, "Who am I? And where did I come from?" And what really is the basis of our life here today? And when you start to question that, the only logical thing and at the point is that we need to take control of our own life. Because if there is no God that is in control of your life, then you are the only thing that can be in control. The Tower of Babel, we see that they said, "We must make a name lest we be scattered." They are in pursuit of a purpose and something that they can be remembered by and be control of. The world today is in pursuit of a question of who is man. They are searching everywhere but the Bible for all their answers. The world believes that man just came to be through evolution over millions of years. and over the millions of years we evolved into this being as we know today. They believe that we are no more than just a, would you say, an animal, but only further advanced. And with that belief, you realize how the general society, and you start to realize why the general society upholds animals as highly as they do. So what is man? First point this morning is, where did we come from? It's a question. Where did we come from? This may seem like a silly question to us. It's something that we knew from little on up. As basic as it seems, this is a huge question that grips people's minds today. There's people that spend their whole life in searching and studying artifacts just so they can get some trace of where life began. There's astronomers that search deep into space looking for clues, while there's clues all around us today. There's clues all through the night sky that they are missing. And the biggest thing that can supply all the answers is right here in our hands today. While people are searching everywhere for answers, the Bible is the most widely read book in the whole universe. And that has all the answers. While man may be wondering how her world came to be, the answers can be found in the first book, in the first chapter. God created the earth and everything in it, and made him in the likeness of himself. While we may never understand the complexity of how he just did it, it is quite clear that God did create all life. This not only shows God's authority over humanity, but his deep love for all his people. The second point is, how big is man? The world believes that man is in control. They preach that you got to take hold of your life because no one else will. And that is a partial truth. It is true that you're taking control of your life by giving control to the only one and true God. But the world views that as losing control. You look at the fear that is gripping the world today over the thought of global warming. It is driving the world leaders into a panic on how to control the environment. They believe that man can make changes and control the earth to make it do what they want to do. The world is fearful because they believe that they are the only one that can save the planet for the coming generations. They say, what will our children have if we do not take control of our situation? While humans do play a part in the deterioration of the planet, and we must take precautions that we are good stewards of what God has given us, I ask this question: who is man? That he thinks that he can control what God can only control. In order to recognize how big or small we are, or how mighty or how weak we are, we need to recognize how big and how powerful and the sheer capacity of our Maker. Psalms 103:14, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the peace thereof shall know it no more." We are just dust, as a flower that cometh and withereth. We are only here for a little time. How are we using that time? So a few verses from Job says, "When I consider the heavens and the work of the fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" When you compare yourself to the planet Earth, we are just a speck of dust. And when you compare the Earth to the solar system, the Earth is only a speck in the solar system. And when you compare the solar system to the whole galaxy, that is only a speck. And when you look at the whole universe, there's many galaxies within that. But yet, we get caught up in the thinking that we're the ones in control. And when you look at the whole universe, you can't even see the little people within the universe. How big is man? Our God is that big that he created it all with his hands, and he says he measured it out with the palms of his hand, the water with the palms of his hands. And this is a God that we serve. But yet God took the time to create every single one of us here. Which brings us to my third point. Why were we created? Why did God, in this huge universe, even feel the need to take care, to actually create these beings that he had to take care of? And the two previous points we can get, We understand it more fully, and I do believe if the Lord tarries and life continues, that we'll see a time in the conservative church that we'll battle the belief of evolution and struggle with the previous points a little bit more so. But the question why God makes me and what is my purpose in life are questions that come more closely to us here today. So why did God ever make man in the first place? What is man that he is mindful of us? We see in Genesis 1, God makes the heaven and earth and everything in it. In verse 25, it says, "And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and the cattle of their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good." Now I looked at this verse. And at this point, everything is complete and perfect. If God thought it was good, it had to be absolutely beautiful. But then he created man. Everything at this point was perfect. Then why did he create man? Man only messes things up, so why would God want us to even be in his creation? In Psalms 148, we see that all creation sings his praises. And God created heaven and earth and all manner of creeping things, and he saw that it was good. And all of his creation sings his praises. Whether it's the flowers or the birds or the stars, they all bring glory to God. The creation does not and will not stop bringing God glory. The flower can't say, "I'm going to stop bringing glory to God." God could have left this pristine environment to continue to bring glory to him forever and ever. But he did not. But he chose to bring man into this world. And he created this thing called man that is so microscopic to God. And he also created us with a mind that we can choose. The rest of creation cannot choose for themselves. He created man even though he knew that his own creation would reject him and turn from him and crucify his only son. He created man even though he knew from the beginning that God will defile the rest of creation. If I were to create something that went as badly as man, I would have been called foolish. And would have been told that I have not worked out all the bugs, as it were, before I created it. But the creation of man is no mistake. There is no missing parts. God knew full well that what he was creating. He knew full well that man would reject him. He knew full well that man would crucify his only son. So why did God create a man that was going to go and turn against him? There is several reasons, but the first clue in the Bible that why we were created and why God chose us and is mindful of us, even though we are so small in his whole creation. And that clue comes in Genesis 1:26. It says God, and God said, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness." It didn't take long as we're growing up that we learned that God had made us in his image. I have no idea what God really, really looks like, but he would have some kind of representation of what we look like today. But the important reason man was created comes in the last part there, and it says, after our likeness. And I thought about that. What is God's likeness? What are we like? What is our desires? And you may ask, what does that have to do with it? Who here likes to be by themselves? It is nice to be by oneself every once in a while. But for the most part, we're relational people. We desire to have a relationship with those around us. And that is the part of the likeness of God that is instilled within our brains. God has the desire of our relationship. God created man so that he could walk and talk with them. But because of sin, we are no longer able to do that in a physical sense. I challenge myself and also you here today. If one of the main reasons that God even created a man is because he wants a relationship, then why is it so easy to deprive him of our time? We would not even exist if it were not for him. If God did not have the desire for our love, then he would have only created animals and flowers and trees and the many beautiful things of this earth that does not go against him. But he sacrificed. But he sacrificed so much for you and I. He sacrificed his pristine creation. He sacrificed his own son. So can we sacrifice our own carnal desires for our Lord Jesus Christ? By giving him a relationship, we're only giving back what he first created us for. What is man that thou art mindful of him? God is mindful of us because he wants our relationship with him. There was a song that came to my mind. It says, "When I think of how he came so far from glory, came to dwell the lowly such as I suffered shame and such disgrace. On Mount Calvary, take my place. When I ask myself this question, Who am I? Who am I that the king should bleed and die for? Who am I that I should pray, not my will, but thine, Lord? The answer I may never know, why he loved me so, that to the old rugged cross he would go. Who am I? Let's kneel for prayer.